Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
So there's this hot take that I saw on TikTok that I was kind of wondering how moms felt about, because I'm not a mom. I'm not even in the position where I can even remotely relate to this. But she said something that I felt like if I was a mom, I feel like I would be in her shoes. So this comes from a user named at Lottie.Weaver. And here is her hot mom take.
One thing I always tell my girls, and I feel like this is pretty controversial, is mommy will always take care of you. No matter how old you are, mommy will always buy you dinner. I will always take you shopping. I will even fill up your car with gas. I don't care if you're married and you have 500 children. My job, I brought you into this world, my job is to provide for you. So, you know, who knows what's gonna happen? Something, she gets divorced, mommy's gonna provide for you, okay? I'm not gonna be like, I birthed you 18 years, see ya. No, if you're having children and you're taking on that responsibility, it is like a lifelong responsibility. And I'm hoping that my daughter has a really secure like relationship with her husband, because guess what? Mommy is gonna be there in the back if he messes up, okay? So I would be the same if I had sons probably, but I don't. I just have three daughters. So they will always be my little girls. I will always be providing for them. We're always gonna go on shopping dates, always get our nails done, because why not?
So the reason why I resonated with this is because I've kind of been going through an existential crisis about, you know, wanting to have children and why you have kids and is it ethical to have kids? And I've always thought it was kind of a whack state of mind that, like, you bring these kids into the world because you chose to bring them into the world. And now, like, I got to pay taxes and work for the rest of my life because y'all wanted to have kids one day. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, I'm huge on personal responsibility. I like to think I own up to my life and my mistakes and the choices that I've made. But at the end of the day, like, I didn't consent to be here. So I think
so give me a free ride for my entire life.
I think it's kind of fair. Like, it was mom and dad's choice to bring me here. I didn't consent to this, but not in like an existential, like I'm trying to like leave type of way, but more of like, it's kind of fair.
I think the word that I'm getting hung up on is provide.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, will I always be there to support my son? Abso-freaking-lutely. In the good, the bad, you name it. Well, if we go out to dinner, will my son ever pay for a meal? Absolutely not. Because, I mean, I remember, like, any time my dad took me out for dinner, or any time he took me and my husband out for dinner, whatever it was, dad always picked up the tab. Like, that's just what dad did. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where, if my child needs me, I am going to be there, but I'm also going to recognize that you need to raise a capable human being, and they're going to have to be able to be there for themselves and to provide for themselves. Yeah. If, you know, God forbid Jimmy goes through a divorce, am I going to be there to support him? Absolutely. I think it was not the message, but the delivery here with her tone that she's like, she's giving, she's giving mama boy, like we come down on mama boys all the time, right? Like, mm-hmm. The mothers that interfere so much, and she's giving that energy, but she has daughters.
Yeah. Again, I'm getting caught up with the word provide also. And I feel like it's this kind of attitude, if you take it literally, is my beef with this generation's parents that aren't allowing their kids to flex a grit muscle, is that we're doing everything for our kids and they don't have the life skills to get through it themselves. So will I always be there physically to provide for my kids? No, there are times already that I can absolutely give them what they want, but I haven't. I will provide them guidance, but I will not provide them with the physical things that they might need that they can earn themselves.
I think for me, the word that I would look for, and this is kind of how my parents operated, and I appreciated it. It was like, once I turned 18, I was welcome to come home, but I had to pay rent. But I knew there was always a safety net. So if things got really bad, mm-hmm. or I was in dire straits, I knew that they would be there to help me pick up the pieces, but I was expected mm-hmm. to function on my own. And that's how I want to handle it. So that's what I see as her version of providing. It's like, yeah, I will literally always be the safety net for my kids.
Sure.
If they can't figure it out themselves, but I expect them, especially as adults, to figure it out themselves first. But that said, I will absolutely go on shopping trips with my adult daughter and buy her presents because I love her. But should it be an expectation of something? I'm going to fund your entire wardrobe? No. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but if your definition is, look, I didn't choose to be here, so you guys should give me everything I want just because it was your decision, I don't necessarily.
No. I'm just giving you something to chew on. I don't necessarily agree with it either, but I'm kind of like, you brought me into this world. You got to keep me in it too.
I believe that Cassie went to Emory. She blows me away with her intelligence. She really, really does. She has facts in that melon of hers that I could never, ever, ever imagine, right? So I am going out with a woman that has a four-year-old, and he is going through his dinosaur phase right now, which a lot of 3 and 4-year-olds go through, right?
It's a lot of fun.
I consider this kid very intense. He blows me away every single day. Verbally, he blows me away. He's got incredible recall. And when he latches on to something, man, it is nothing but that. And right now, it is dinosaurs and it is T-Rex. And I'm still trying to get points with this kid, okay? So Cassie hits me, and I'm not even sure how we got into the conversation. It started with, I think, the first fact, which I might have known, that chickens are part of the same family tree as dinosaurs.
Correct. Yes. Yep. Birds are descendants of dinosaurs.
I believe I've heard that.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're saying velociraptors. The velociraptors we've always known and like we've seen in Jurassic Park don't have feathers, but in actuality.
What'd you just say there?
The velociraptors that we know from like movies and stuff like that do not have feathers, but in actuality, velociraptors did have feathers.
Okay, hold on. We're getting there. Let it cook. So Cassie hits me with, hey, do you know that T-Rexes are part of the chicken family and we now know that they have feathers and not scales? And I'm like, what are you saying? She's like, yeah, T-Rexes were just big chickens, basically, that they had feathers. And I'm like, you are blowing me away right now. Away right now. But I'm also thinking, I can't wait to get back to Amanda's son and blow him away with this information, right? I don't Google it or anything. Well, actually, I started to Google it. But then I get on the phone with Amanda, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got the greatest present for your child. And it's not anything physical at all. Do you know that dinosaurs had feathers? And she is a gasp, right? And then she's also like, who did this come from? And I said, Cassie. And she said, do you know what day today is? And it happened to be April 1st. So I'm like, this bee got me, and she was ready for me to come on the air and talk about how T-Rexes had feathers, because that to me is jarring info for a 4-year-old and for any adult. And then I start to do a Google on it, and the T-Rex did not have feathers, but you will not back down on it.
Because I know I read it somewhere from a credible source, and I have found that source.
Okay, because I did a deeper search also, because I cannot go to this kid with this info.
No.
Because if I am wrong, I am on the S list for the rest of our relationship.
Like, and Jimmy is very into dinosaurs right now, too.
And this kid is really particular, man.
And we've been to the Telus Science Museum to see their dinosaur exhibit. We've done Fernbank numerous times for their... We've done all the dino things in the Atlanta metro area, right? And he gets to check out books at the library, at his school. It's always a dinosaur book, right? And I was thrown because it was recently that I learned, yeah, velociraptors had feathers. That is like so crazy. It's not like the velociraptors you see Chris, what's his name, playing with in Jurassic Park.
Pratt.
Thank you. Chris Pratt playing with in Jurassic Park. But I can say I have never heard anything about T-Rex.
And he's specifically in a T-Rex. I mean.
So is Jimmy.
Yeah. You know, T-Rex is the biggest, right? It's like, yeah, it just blows you away. So T-Rex, strong. And it's a chicken. Yeah. I'm going to have to go to this kid and say, hey, it's just a big chicken with feathers. That's going to be jarring and life-changing for this kid.
Okay, I never said it looked like a chicken. I said it had feathers. And when Bert told me that it didn't, I was like, I'm not wrong. I cannot be wrong, because do you know how many people I've told this fact to? Because it's so cool.
That T-Rex has feathers?
Yes.
It doesn't.
Yes.
It never did.
I don't think it did
either. American Museum of Natural History. There's a caveat. A young T-Rex probably had a thin coat of downy feathers. New York Times. Scientists now believe that all tyrannosaurs had feathers. All right. So we don't have fossilized evidence that it has feathers, and that's the catch. But major, like, including the Museum of Natural History, which, you know, is the one with the big dinosaur skeletons, say that the T-Rex, at least the young one, definitely had feathers.
But if it had feathers, how do we know it's related to the chicken? Like, how are we making that jump?
Well, that's been proven.
Their bones and their structure and things of that nature.
It came out because there was a joke, but also kind of true. Alligator tastes like chicken. Like, I know you looking at me crazy, but in Louisiana, we eat alligator.
I've had alligator.
Yeah, yeah. So it tastes like chicken, but that's because they're both the closest living relatives of dinosaurs. So when you eat chicken, that's probably what dinosaur tastes like.
Okay. While some tyrannosaur relatives, like one that starts with a Y, had feathers, current evidence suggests that Tyrannosaurus rex, T-Rex itself, was covered in scales, not feathers.
Is that from scales, AI? Is that AI?
Feathers. Many sources. Many sources.
You got to name your source, dude. You can't just say many sources. She came in with the freaking Natural Museum.
And the New York Times.
I didn't save the actual...
Probably from Reddit.
I don't know.
No. Wikipedia.
I like bones on Reddit says.
Do not go to your kids with this info. Unlike similar dinosaurs whose fossilized feathers have been found preserved in rock, no feathers have been directly linked to T-Rex.
Fine.
Not yet.
Tell them the other dinosaurs had feathers then, because they did. And it's cool. And when, you know what? In 20 years, when they find feather evidence on T-Rexes, I'm going to hunt you down in Bali or Mali or wherever you're moving to, show up at your doorstep unannounced with a bottle of champagne and be like, surprise, and drink the bottle in front of you.
Do not share this with your toddlers. It will rock their world for no real reason at all.
Oh, wait, I got some BBC science.
Okay, what are they saying?
There is not yet any direct fossil evidence of feathers on a T-Rex. Nobody has found a T-Rex skeleton cloaked in feathers or any feathers.
And that's BBC. Those are your people.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't have any evidence from the skin. That doesn't stay.
Okay, so guess what? You're all pretty.
Yes, we're both right.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, our producer Amber is in. Now, you have shared with us, Amber, that you are adopted.
Yes.
But we haven't heard this story about how you tracked down your biological sister.
So the story is very interesting. So my parents told me that I was adopted when I was young enough to understand. I think I was like 8, 9, elementary school for sure.
Did you have, when they told you, did you have like feelings about it? Or was it just kind of like, oh.
No, because I was a baby when they adopted me. So they're literally the only parents I've ever known. So it never even occurred to me. I'm literally the spitting image of both of my parents, which is weird because we have no blood, but I look like them. It's crazy. It's kind of like how people like grow up, like they have a dog and they end up looking like their dog or something like that. It's kind of like that, but sweeter. So anyways, I found out when I was in elementary school, and it never kept it a secret from me. And I decided to ask more questions. Turns out my dad went to Morehouse, right? That's where he went to college. And he met a lot of friends there. So, you know, especially in black families, we got like 1,000 uncles and cousins and aunties, whether they're related to us or not. So my uncle Lester, they have been, I think they were college roommates is how they started off at Morehouse. And turns out my uncle Lester, which was not my uncle, he knew my biological mother, dated my biological mother in college years.
Whoa.
Right? I was like, whoa.
Did they know this before or after the fact, after they adopted you?
Oh, they knew this before.
Okay.
They knew this before. Apparently, my Uncle Lester and my dad and my mom were all like in cahoots. And they met this woman through a woman that my mother worked with on finding out that someone was looking for someone to adopt their child because my mother was barren. She couldn't have any children. So this was their way, their option.
Gotcha.
So they, my Uncle Lester, from what I understand, kind of reached out and tried to make things happen and all that good stuff. But here's the kicker. My Uncle Lester, who is my dad's best friend from college, is actually on the birth certificate of my big sister, who is my biological older sister, who I just met like maybe a few years ago.
So but if he's been a part of the family, how did you find this information out? And what made you never suspect that you, like the two of you were related?
My Uncle Lester was extremely honest with me. We went to this random bar near my house back when I lived in LA, I was visiting home.
Oh, I was like, when you were 8 or 9, did you get all this news at once?
Some shots, tequila, whatever. And we had a conversation because I always thought in the back of my head that maybe he was my biological father because my biological sister, he's on her birth certificate as her father, but he's not her biological father.
Okay.
He's a father figure because he was dating her mother and he felt like, oh, let me just, you know, help raise. And he did a great job and they're still close to this day. But he was telling me about my older sister, whose name is Imani. And we look exactly like, I'll show you guys a photo later. And what happened was after he explained that to me, I decided to try to find her on Facebook. And
so he wasn't in current contact with her?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're still very close.
Okay, good.
Because he is still technically her father on her birth certificate. So he helped raise her.
Gotcha.
So that's what made me think that maybe he's my dad. Because I didn't realize that he wasn't her dad until like in my 20s. I didn't know that.
Gotcha.
So for about 15 years, I thought that this man might be my biological father. And I'm like, why isn't anybody telling me this? Because my family has always been very honest, you know, so I didn't understand. But he sat me down and I finally said, hey, Unc, are you my daddy? He was like, what? No. So then we went to Grandstands. We got some lemon pepper wings and we had a conversation. We talked about it. And so I asked him if he would reach out to Imani for me because I was kind of nervous. I didn't know if she knew. This turns out I have two other sisters. So I have three sisters, biological sisters. I've only met one of them. They all now know about me, but they didn't find out about me, I think, until like their late teens, early 20s, from what I understand.
Wow.
I met her on Facebook, and this is when I was living in Los Angeles. And her actual biological father lives in L.A. So she was moving, or not moving, she was going to visit him. And when we were talking on Facebook, turns out I lived about maybe 15 minutes from where her biological dad lived.
Well, that's kismet.
Right?
Yeah.
So she stopped by my studio apartment for like literally 15 minutes. She didn't have a lot of time because she was headed back to the airport. Literally 15 minutes, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you're wearing my face! You know, it's so weird, because we look exactly alike. And so we...
You can't deny DNA.
Yeah, right? It's so... Because I was raised as an only child, so for me, my mind is like mind-blown emoji right now. Like, what's going on? But we're in conversations. We talk on Facebook, FaceTime and things like that. And unfortunately, she never got to meet my mom. She really wanted to before she passed. And my mom really wanted to meet her. My mom was like, you have to make sure because I'm as an only child, I don't reach out to people. You know, I was raised alone, so I have to teach myself to reach out to her and see how she's doing and check on her. And right now, she's living in Florida, working for customer service at a hotel. I don't know. It's a very confusing job she has. And so, yeah, I have three biological sisters and I'm trying really hard to get close to at least one of them.
Oh, you guys. Yeah. You need to try to plan something where all like four of you can get together.
Yeah. I would love that.
I was going to say, do you have plans to reach out to your other biological sisters or why haven't you yet?
I think it's probably going to sound a little silly, but the one of the reasons why it worked for me, Imani, because she is like a year or so older than I am. So I would have been the second oldest. I was the only one out of the four of us that was adopted. So I felt it kind of felt like a rejection. And she was the only one out of all my sisters who actually reached out. And I don't know if the other two want to or not, but I'm terrified to reach out and try. Because I don't want to feel that rejection again.
I don't blame you. Yeah. That makes total sense.
The Burt Show.
Just going to admit it right now that I have come in here today on this segment specifically to be an a-hole. All right.
So just this one?
Now, I'm not saying that I won't be again sometime during the show, but this one is specifically designed to anger somebody in studio.
So this isn't like you're going to Reddit to Am I the A-hole?
No.
Because you already know you are the A-hole.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I am definitely the A-hole here. One of the things that I get most amused by in working on this show is the superficial ways that our show director, Tommy, will get upset and the passion that he has for some things that I would consider superficial. It just tickles me. When he gets mad, it tickles me.
Hey, when the Hulk gets angry, it's for a reason.
Yeah, but you're like the Hulk is like if the Hulk were a giant teddy bear. And so I feel so bad because you'll get legitimately mad and I'm just cracking up because it is like the most, it's like the cutest, funniest display of anger I've ever seen and getting you more and more angry. Like you're like the guy from Inside Out, the little anger icon behind the control panel when your head starts steaming.
It's like seeing Santa Claus get angry. I'm like, you're just too jolly. Let's His blood sugar is just a little low. Someone get him a Snickers.
Go ahead. Let's call this segment Poke the Bear.
Okay, yeah. And again, this is in superficial ways here. Like, yeah. Before we started this segment, I'm like, hey, can you guys think of other ways that, superficial ways that Tommy is just like, disproportionately been upset, and Kristen had a classic example.
When you got really upset with Bert when he said all the BG songs sounded the same.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, you were really upset.
You got really upset with me when I said Grease 2 was just as good as Grease 1.
Oh, yeah. Now that's just asinine.
But you have to understand, it's usually not just that. It's usually like him visually being upset and stating his case on exactly why he's so passionate.
It's the passion. Yeah. It's the passion.
With those two examples, my heart is already beating fast.
My favorite is he'll stop mid-sentence when he realizes there's no way he's convincing. He's like, y'all, and then just walks out the studio. Y'all don't even know.
All right, so here it is, man. This is the one that I know annoys you the most. So here we go. This is your trigger.
Don't you besmirch Bucky's.
No.
That was your concern, not Michael Jackson. It was Bucky's.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So Peter Travers, he has a podcast and a website called The Travers Take.
Are you talking about the movie critic Peter Travers from Rolling Stone?
I guess.
Who likes every movie on earth?
I suppose. I've never heard of the dude before.
Yeah, he's always the first one listed whenever Peter Travers says, this movie is awesome.
That's not even the triggering point. So are you upset that this guy's always thinking that everything's great?
Yes, because it's not.
We're not even there
yet. We're starting strong.
Yeah, right? Can you remember a movie review where he said it's great and you're like, that movie sucks and everybody else knows it?
Not off the top of my head, but okay. I mean, he always likes everything.
So you just think he's a kiss butt?
Yes, he just wants his name on a movie poster.
He loved Grease, too. Cool Riders is favorite song of all time.
All right, what did Peter Travers do this time?
He said that all the Bee Gees songs sound the same.
No, he did not.
Okay, he said this. All right, so dude is a big deal, obviously. I didn't know he worked for Rolling Stone.
He is.
Okay, well, he just interviewed Martin Scorsese.
Yes.
Okay, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Abby? Okay, so who is Martin Scorsese that people would know?
One of the most famous directors in history. He's done a lot of work with Robert De Niro.
He did Grease 2.
What's your favorite Scorsese directed movie?
Raging Bull.
Okay. Yeah, that's back in the day, but that's a Hall of Famer, and he's a Hall of Famer, but he's like up there now. Was he in his like late 70s, 80s, right?
Yeah, he's getting up there.
So this dude, your guy, Peter Travers, interviews Martin Scorsese and says, I asked the maestro why he doesn't see movies in theaters anymore. I mean, this guy is a Hall of Famer, right? And he went all Raging Bull about audiences who babble on phones during the movie, leave to order snacks and vats of soda, and keep up a noise level loud enough to drown out the actors.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Travers says, come on, Marty. I said, we couldn't keep our mouths shut when we were kids. His eyes darkened. Yeah, maybe, he conceded. But when we talked, it was always about the movie and the fun we had, chewing over all of the details. Now, in a post from Discussing Film that's going viral with people just popping off on their own opinions of the current state of things in movie theaters. Dude, this is so you right here. What are the comments? He's right. You seriously can't go 5 minutes in a theater without seeing a phone light up somewhere in your theater. It's so, bad word, annoying, one person said. Marty is right. theater etiquette is at an all-time low. And this person said, it's a fair point. Shushing people isn't enough for me. I need a button that ejects repeat offenders from their seats.
Oh, yeah, I would live for that.
By the way, there's a name for the people who can't go to a movie and watch an entire movie without picking up their phone. They're called moth people because they're attracted to the light.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, I call them something else.
I mean, I remember you going off one time on somebody eating popcorn because it was too loud.
No, it wasn't popcorn. They brought in
here we go.
A bag of vanilla wafers in that crinkly wax paper. So it was like every 5 minutes, it was like...
What an odd snack. Vanilla wafers.
Well, vanilla wafers. I mean, delicious.
Like every 5 minutes. And this was... I can't remember what the movie was, but it was a drama. It was one of those serious movies. Every 5 seconds.
We got it.
And they were right in front of me. And I could see down over them, and I could see their bag of vanilla wafers.
One time, didn't you almost throat punch my kid because he wouldn't stop talking in a movie?
God, I'll learn my lesson. Born and done.
What movie?
I mean, he is very knowledgeable, but I think it was a Marvel movie. I forget which one.
Yep.
But he talks the entire movie. It's like you select on your Blu-ray player the audio commentary. It's like, yeah, I didn't select that.
So his wiring is such that literally when he was a kid and we would go to G-rated movies, he'd be talking so much that I would have to pick him up and bring him out of the theater and tell him, maybe 5-6 times, you're not that. This is not the time. You got questions. You want to tell me something that you think I'm going to miss in the movie? Let's wait till the end of the movie. It started when he was 5 years old, and it's the same to this day at 22 years old. He just wants to make sure you know everything that is going on in the movie so you enjoy it as much as he does. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that.
Well, I told you about the time it was summer. It was July 4th week. Wonder Woman was at the theaters. I had been dying to see this movie. And
it's a good movie.
My best friend's youngest son, Colton, he had on a snapback hat, and he had taken it off. And he was doing this. Snap, snap, snap. And he put it right back together as quick as he could. And then he snap, 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 snap back. Non-stop. And I looked at his brother Spencer, who's older. I was like, Spencer, you got to do something. I am going to kill this kid. And finally, I got up. And well, it wasn't just that. Behind me, there was a young teenage couple, and the girl was all laid up in the guy's lap, and they were talking. I don't mind you if you're laying up in the, I don't care if you make out. Just keep it quiet. And they're talking like at this level, but not loud enough to where I can make out what they're saying. So finally, I got fed up and I went up there and plopped down right beside them and just whipped my head over to them.
Tommy.
I did, and the dude looked so scared. He goes, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir." And I told him to keep it. I said, "Well, I just wanted to sit down and hear everything. If you know you were going to be the feature tonight,
you are that old guy.
And so they stopped for like 60 seconds. I go back down to my seat and I think, thank God. And I had actually moved down from Colton, who was the hat snapper. So I was isolated, but still a couple rows down from these kids. And they start going again. And I said, okay, one of two things is going to happen. Tommy is going to be in jail for murder, or Tommy's going to go out to his car. I went out to my car.
You left the movie?
That doesn't surprise me at all, man.
You made the right choice.
Then the sad thing, I don't know if I was cursed or what. I'm saying a month later, or however long later, when Wonder Woman comes out on streaming, I'm streaming it, and I swear on my life, the movie stopped streaming at the exact part that I walked out. The exact part. I was like, God does not want me to see Wonder Woman.
Hollywood karma, man.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.